breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind.
In the past, when we've had debris, yeah, we've had issues with FEMA on cost, and so we've had to argue back and forth with them on cost. This time it's a different animal. You know, FEMA doesn't like to be questioned, and so especially once they've kind of made an initial ruling, and so that sometimes isn't accepted very well because they want us to go away. You know, they want to close the project, they want us to close the storm, and you know, we're not going to do that.
Now, that was actually a compiled series of clips from a bunch of different comments that David Bryant made to the Scambia County Public School Board yesterday. He is the internal auditor, talking about the challenges that they've had getting paid by FEMA from Sally damage, stuff that they've had to clean up. It's somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million that's in dispute, and they're going to go to arbitration or try to go to arbitration with them. And it's kind of interesting because Sam Abel, who we have on the line with us, Sam, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. She's the city manager for City of Gulf Breeze. Welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. We were going to talk primarily about things that you all did last night in the city council meeting. Interesting stuff. But you made the comment to me, you know, do you want to talk about FEMA? I'm like, oh, you heard that? She's like, yeah. I said, okay, well, let's talk about that because you as a city manager obviously have had to deal with this. But you had a thought about this and about the way you structure contracts. And I just want to give you a chance to talk about, I mean, is he right? And also kind of what else do you want to say?
Yeah, Andrew, thank you. I'm thinking the questions that citizens and stakeholders can ask, right? Because when, you know, everyone knows that that FEMA is not well funded, that the money is not a certainty, it is not an entitlement. That is emergency operation planning 101, is that there may not be money there after a natural disaster. And for that reason, you know, we all make sure that we have reserves that will take care of us, whether that be 3 months of reserves or 6 months or whatever your board sets. But, you know, when we send the message that there's, you know, this nebulous political decision making, it can lead to, you know, uncertainty with our citizens. And so, you know, there's some questions to ask, you know, to better understand. And that is, you know, was there an emergency operation plan? Was it followed? Did you have standby contracts before the storm? If you had standby contracts, did you have debris disposal fields already identified? Did you have debris monitoring as one of those standby contracts? All those things before the natural disaster, having been competitively solicited under contract, helps the process go a lot faster. And I'm not in any way saying that the Escambia School Board didn't do these things.
Right.
But it's important for citizens to understand that those who they have elected have done everything right, and that they are, you know, within their wherewithal in order to receive the maximum reimbursement, in order to know that, you know, we are in a state that had historic storm seasons in 2020 and 2021, historic amount of storm seasons. And when your, you know, boards who are governing your schools and local governments do all the things right, they have an emergency operation plan, they have their disposal fields, you know, identified ahead of time, they have the standby contracts both for the initial push and the debris removal, and they had debris monitors who are checking those tickets, who are making sure what's going to the landfill,
right,
you know, is actually storm related. When all of those things are done, then it makes the process that much easier for FEMA, and there's less to argue back and forth.
Yeah, I guess my takeaway from his comments was, and from your comments too, is elected officials, it's very easy to blame FEMA for the process being difficult, especially if you haven't done all the things that you can do to make it work better. My take on, you know, listening to him talk at the school board meeting is that they really, at least I know his expertise seems very high. I'm suspecting that he's saying, we have done all of that and gone above and beyond, and still it's been a nightmare with FEMA even so. But obviously, if we haven't done our job, then we can't expect FEMA to be easy to work with. So I appreciate that note. Sam, last night you guys had a good conversation, I think, about, or at least recently, maybe it was at the Parks Board meeting, about the Blue Ways and Greenways program?
Yeah, so that's very exciting. We had a park board meeting last week, very heavily attended, and Mayor Cherry Fitch spoke on it again this morning to a community group. And what we're doing is we're just updating people what we have accomplished and where we're going, Andrew. So with our multi-use pathway and trail complete, what you can expect in 2024 is phase two, which will be extending that pathway across Highway 98. We are doing that in partnership with FDOT and the state of Florida. Very excited about that. And then phase three is to continue the multi-use pathway by widening an existing sidewalk that will travel on Highway 98 around Harbor Town to Pensacola Beach Road, where there's an existing crossing. It will cross over and then come back up to the high school so that there will be connectivity all the way from, you know, the city of Pensacola, then to Naval Live Oaks and beyond.
Oh, nice.
That's all really exciting. So just continuing to close that link in the Northwest Florida trail system. And so we shared that. And then also we have a $1.2 million grant that's making huge improvements for our paddlers and boating enthusiasts both at Shoreline Park South at Woodland Park. Yeah.
As you know, so, we just started paddle boarding, and finding a place to go in, especially if you want to go visit like Dead Man's Island or something, is, you know, the amenities could be a little bit better. And yet, I mean, you know, getting there, I know you guys want to. So that's, I mean, that's exciting. It's because there's so much around
you
that area.
You hit the nail on the head. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. So Woodland Park will be the park for you, Andrew, to easily be able to.
That's where we launched from in our very first time paddleboarding. Yeah. And it was interesting. It was interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, last thing. There was an item on the agenda for Peaks Point, and I guess, is that about the, like, very sharp turn from Fairpoint to Shoreline right there? Is that what that was about?
Yes. And, you know, this is definitely a riddle, not as much a riddle as trying to influence FEMA to spend money that they don't want to spend, but a riddle all the same. And, you know, we're a peninsula that has a very sharp turn, and unfortunately you have individuals who are doing what they're not supposed to be doing. They're drinking under the influence, and every year we have one or two really bad accidents in front of that neighborhood with vehicles that just hydroplane. The residents approached the city and said, we need to do something. So the council authorized a traffic study, looked at all types of different traffic devices. You know, again, this is not an issue in the middle of the day with sober drivers.
Got it.
But it is an issue that has been terrible in the wee hours of the morning. And so what they ultimately approved last night, Andrew, was more signage that's very in your face. That's a controversial decision because it's less disruptive than more speed humps, which I know you're a huge fan of.
Yeah,
I know you love ours.
I sure am.
Our speed hump. Yeah, not sure that a speed hump in that tight curve, you know, would be the solution because you might have even more hydroplaning.
Right.
But the signage is not an easy decision because you do get to the point where you have visual clutter and pollution.
Yep.
We had 3 of 5 council people there last night, and it came down to a 2-1 vote. So I will say that is a tepid endorsement to move forward. We'll put up the signs. We'll, you know, hopefully it will save a life, and we'll see where we go from there. Might be some more tweaking in the future.
No, that's really concerning, especially as you say, it's a not very well-lit area at night, people driving and drinking, and, you know, if there's water and all of that combining for a dangerous situation. And, yeah, it's an interesting thing you note about this, you know, speed tables. When you're making a turn, or close to making a turn, speed tables can be a really bad thing because, you know, pushing the car up as you're trying to gain traction. So I appreciate you guys working on that. And, you know, it's a problem I didn't know existed. So thanks for making us aware of it. Oh, and somebody texted in and said, Sam, great job on the beautification of 98 going through Gulf Breeze. So they appreciate all the work in that regard. Sam Abel, city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze.
I'll pass that forward.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely do. We don't get enough of that kind of just feedback up to
That's
say
right.
Thank you for all the stuff. Sam, thanks as always for the time. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.